Well, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how to have a grateful heart. There's a man who was a criminal lawyer, and he was a judge back in the day. His name is Samuel Leibowitz, and that man saved 78 men from the electric chair. 78 men were saved from the electric chair from this judge and this lawyer, and did you know that not one of them bothered to come back and thank him? Yeah. Kind of reminds me of the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed in the book of Matthew. How many knows about that story? He healed 10 lepers, and how many of them came back to thank him? One, and he was a Samaritan, wasn't he? He said, you know what? And a Samaritan, by the way, were the scorned and the rejected of the Jewish people. They were not loved. They were not liked. They were not looked upon well. And the one man that came back to say thanks was a Samaritan. It's just really interesting how in our lives, I think we tend to neglect giving thanks to God for the things that he's done in our life. There's really tons of reasons to give thanks to God, amen? And as we looked at last week, our God is faithful, right? And our God is good. Let's say that again with me, won't you? Our God is faithful, and our God is good. Those are two reasons right there to give thanks to the Lord. We serve a God who is faithful, and we serve a God who is good. And I believe that we can all be more thankful in our lives. You know, it's unfortunate, it seems, that our default is the way that we're wired in our human nature is that we seem to find the worst in people and the worst in situations. And too often, I think we complain about way too much. So with that in mind, since it seems to be easier to grumble and to complain, today I'd like us to spend a few minutes looking at how we can cultivate more fully an ungrateful heart. By the way, my tongue will be firmly planted in my cheek for the first several parts of this message. So keep that in mind as we're going through this here today, that I really don't mean all that I'm saying up until towards the end. It's going to be pretty sarcastic, if you can want to call it that. So keep that in mind. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 is where we're going to start here this morning. And this is a scripture that I think that we can just kind of look at and say, well, I don't really think that God knew what he was talking about here. And it starts off with this. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, and then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. So what if we were to do the opposite of this verse? What if we were to do everything with grumbling and complaining? What would that look like? Well, I find it interesting that there's multiple examples in the Bible of people and groups of people that, in fact, did that. You all know the story of the children of Israel grumbling and complaining in the wilderness after they were released from hundreds of years of bondage to the Egyptians. They, at one point or another, had something to complain about. They said, we're tired of manna, we want meat. They said, we're tired of walking, let's rest. They said, we want a new leader, let's kill Moses. Are we there yet? We want to go back to Egypt and complain, complain, complain. How about this one? We all know, in fact, an entire book was dedicated to it. The author's name was Jonah. And Jonah grumbled and complained about the withered vine, if you know the story. There's a nice vine that God provided for him and provided for him shade. And after a few hours or so, there's this worm that came and chewed into the vine, and the vine withered and his shade was gone. And Moses complained about that. And he also complained to God about turning his wrath upon the people of Nineveh. God was going to say, go to Nineveh and tell them to get their house in order because I'm getting ready to pour out my wrath upon them unless you go and tell them otherwise. And Jonah did everything that he could to not, and that's why he was swallowed up in the big belly of the fish and all of that that happened to him. And sure enough, he went, and he told everybody after the fish spit him out on the ground, and what a sight that he must have been. I'm sure his clothes were all ragged, and he probably had the smell of fish about him, and he probably was a little bit on the bleached side, I would imagine, from all the digestive juices, and he's going in there saying, "Repent," which is another story altogether. I just imagine what that guy looked like. It's like, who's this creepy dude? But they did. They repented. And so he's sitting there underneath this vine that's withered, and he said, I knew it. I knew that if I told them to repent that they would and that you'd not punish them, which you would think would be a good thing, but he was pretty upset about it. And now this shady vine is withered and I'm baking in the hot sun. God, it's just not fair. And those are just two examples of so many people in the Bible that just complained and found fault all the time. They had an unthankful heart. You know, being thankful is difficult. It really is. It goes against our natural fleshly human instinct. It's apparently much more productive to grumble and complain based on all the examples of people that I've seen in my life over the years. So many people are doing it all around the world, complaining about every little thing. So with that in mind, here's how we can cultivate an ungrateful heart. Ready? Take some notes. This is going to be very important to you. Number one, keep a complaining journal. You know, journals are great. Many people keep journals in their life. Some journal things like what God has spoken to them as they study God's word, okay? Others journal experiences in their life like a diary. And blogging is really a kind of a form of journaling that is done online. But if you're going to cultivate an ungrateful heart and be a champion complainer, keep a journal of things that bother you and make you mad. Write down every time someone ticks you off or something awful happens that you didn't like. Write it down. And be very detailed about it, by the way. Write down dates, write down names, all the minutiae. Don't leave anything out. Then spend time reflecting on the things that people do that bother you. Read it over and over again until it dominates every waking moment of your life. And if you happen to slip into contentment, quickly go back to your journal to remind you of your frustrations, of why you should be ungrateful and unthankful. Fan that sucker back into flame, I'll tell you. Pour the kerosene of offense on it and stay warmed in the bitter glow of its fire. Think carefully about your words that you choose as you're journaling, too. The more strongly that you label things, the better you'll be able to cultivate a grumbling spirit. Use words like horrible and irritating and atrocious. The stronger the words, the better. And whatever you do, don't pay any attention to what God's word says about the words that we choose. Verses like kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Careful. A person's words can be a life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. And finally, there's some words. God's word says, your own soul is nourished when you're kind, but you destroy yourself when you're cruel. But why would we want to nourish our own souls? Why would we want to cultivate a heart of gratitude towards God in those times of testing and struggle? Where's the fun in that? No matter what, don't even think about what Psalm 105 verses 1 through 5 says. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost beings praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't count your blessings. It's much better to destroy ourselves and continue to live in turmoil as we rehearse in our journals the times that we've experienced those things that have given us the opportunity to complain and to be ungrateful towards God. So, first, if you want to cultivate an ungrateful heart, keep a complaining journal. That's number one. Here's number two. Here's the second thing that you do if you want to develop an ungrateful heart is to get distracted. Get distracted. You see, when people are thankful, it's usually because they lack the ability to remember the bad stuff in the past and worry about the things that might happen in the future. To be a top-level complainer, you need to be good at both. Remember the bad stuff in the past by keeping that complaining journal, but also worry about the yet-to-happen stuff in the future. This makes a great 1-2 punch to keep us cooking with gas and ingratitude. So as we're staying distracted, we multitask, we stay occupied, we keep busy, busy, busy. Be careful, we need to stay away from God's word, we need to stay away from prayer, we need to stay away from the quiet times of reflection and from any other voice, whether it be an encouraging friend, whether it be uplifting music, whether it be strengthening sermons like today, whether it be like a helpful book that might cause you to pause and reflect on those thoughts that are ruling your emotions and actions in an unhealthy direction. Otherwise, you may have too much time to focus on the good happening all around you in the here and now, and you'll miss out on the potential threats on the horizon or bad stuff that you've already experienced. Folks, there's always something to worry about in the future. Those yet-to-happen events of our imagination that always assume and fear the worst are important to feed if we're going to cultivate an unthankful heart. Never mind that those things that we conjure up and worry about in the future never seem to materialize. It's better to worry than to trust God with the days ahead, isn't it? No matter that God's blessings are in, or He's blessing us in the here and now, no matter that He is faithful and that He is good, no matter that we have food and shelter and clothing, no matter that we are saved from our sins through the blessing of God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, no matter that we are blessed beyond measure in every conceivable way, do not look at those things. Pay no attention to Philippians 4:8 that says, whatever things are true, and whatever things are noble, and whatever things are right, and whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, and whatever is admirable, to think on these things. Don't reflect on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, that says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You see, the best way to keep feeding an ungrateful heart is to stay distracted and to stay worried. So we create a complaining journal. That's number one. I hope you're taking notes. Number two, then we stay distracted, and that's number two. Number three, here's the third one. Let's focus on our prayer time. Oh, now, Pastor, wait a minute. What do you mean by focusing on our prayer time? That seems a little counterintuitive to developing an unthankful heart. Stay with me. I don't want you to get me wrong, because by me encouraging you to pray, I'm in no way implying that you enter into His presence with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. I am not encouraging you to use your prayer time as the vehicle that it was designed to be, to have an intimate communion with your Heavenly Father. Do not waste your time thanking God or worshiping Him for who He is. After all, He knows who He is. But what He doesn't know is what you want and need. So instead, bypass all that thanksgiving to Him and use your prayer time to go directly to asking Him for stuff that you don't have but desperately want. Keep your focus always on not being content. Consider Paul being out of his mind when he wrote these words in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of my being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. What was he thinking? Contentment is the enemy of ingratitude. Remember that our goal is to cultivate an ungrateful heart. Be very careful to not allow contentment to creep in. Instead, always complain about what you don't have but want. Bonus points, by the way, are that you get mad at God when He doesn't answer you or do what you ask. That's always helpful. After all, Jesus didn't know what He was saying when He said in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. God doesn't know what's best for us. That's why we need to tell Him what we want and need. Don't allow God to be the Lord of your life. Don't trust Him with that He's aware of all that we're going through. Don't remember that His word says that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Staying focused on that will diminish your ingratitude. So guard against that with all your might. So we start a complaining journal, which takes care of our past. That's one. Then we stay distracted, which keeps us from seeing the blessings of the present and adding worry for the future. That's two. And then we focus on what we want in our prayers, which covers our contentment. That's three. And finally, let's do this fourth thing. Avoid focusing on your health. Very important. Write this down. Avoid focusing on your health. Thankfulness and health go hand in hand. Did you know that? Because the healthier that you are, the more thankful and positive that you'll be. And this isn't just your physical health, by the way, we're talking about healthy in every area, physically, yes, but also mentally and emotionally, spiritually and relationally, because healthy people in all areas of their life tend to make better decisions, so be careful. What a waste of time, I would say, this morning. If you're wanting to have an unthankful, ungrateful heart, don't focus on your health. What can we do in these areas? In the area of the overall health to make us sure that we maintain an ungrateful heart. Here's some things we can break this down. First, let's get as little sleep as possible. Lack of sleep contributes to anxiety, which feeds complaining. It also affects your immune system. It makes you more susceptible to sickness. It also keeps you from thinking straight. It also makes you grumpy. It impairs your judgment, and it makes you forgetful. All of these side effects will help feed your ingratitude. So stop getting so much sleep. Number two, avoid exercise. It produces endorphins, which makes you feel good and happy. It's much harder to be ungrateful when you feel good and are happy. So sit around as much as you can. Change your license plate to couch potato. Abuse and neglect your physical temple. Don't run the race set before you in God's strength. Third, hold grudges. It eats away at your peace and contentment and keeps your grumbling spirit in perspective. Pay no attention to what Colossians 3:13 says. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Hold a grudge. Here's the fourth thing. Entertain fears and worries on a regular basis. It'll keep your mind preoccupied so much that you'll not have room to be thankful. After all, what good will it do to consider Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And finally, fifth, don't yield your heart to the Lord. It allows your flesh to grumble to its heart's content. After all, was said and done, and the people of Israel had possessed the promised land. Joshua turned to the people of Israel, who had for years grumbled and complained and taken on the worship of idols, contrary to all that Almighty God stood for. And I want to read to you Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 15 and verse 24. He said to them, God actually starts up by saying, so I, God, gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. So now then Joshua turns to the people and says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. You know what? We can follow the instructions that I've given today. Start a complaining journal to rehearse your past. Stay distracted to keep yourself from focusing on the present blessings and help you to worry about the future. Concentrate your prayers on your wants and needs to fight off whatever contentment might be trying to creep up. We can neglect our physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, or relational health, or we can reverse all of these things and become thankful, more thankful, and less negative. It says, Joshua laid out to his people, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Journal instead God's past blessings and faithfulness. How about that? Dwell on those things. How about that? Guard your margins today and make time to look around at the many blessings in your life and trust God with your future. Doesn't that sound better than keeping yourself busy and worried? Let your prayers be filled with thanksgiving and praise. Be content, trusting God will provide all of your needs as your loving Heavenly Father. Rest well. Eat right. Exercise. Forgive one another continually. Stop worrying, but live in God's peace and yield your whole heart and life to God. Folks, it's a daily choice that we make. It's a daily discipline that we exercise. It goes against our natural fleshly human tendencies. It goes against our current culture, which is propagated by social media in our workplaces, in our family dynamics, with our friends, and in fact, even at times in our churches. It's a spiritual exercise of dying daily to our flesh and living for the glory of God. As our verse says again in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You can do that, or you can walk around with an ungrateful heart. It's your choice. Let me encourage you to throw away those worthless idols that the world offers and choose gratitude in God. Don't have an ungrateful heart. Be thankful at all times, in all ways, directing it all to our faithful and good God. I hope you understand that I'm not telling you to have an ungrateful heart this morning. Don't journal those things that are hurtful. Don't pray selfish prayers. Don't stay so busy that you lose sight of who God is and His goodness in your life. Reflect on the good things today. Pray to Him and give Him praise. Guard your margins and spend time just having wonderful, lovely communion with Him. And do, please do, take care of yourself in every way.